Well, thank you so much, Keith, and it's really wonderful to be here, and thank you all for your warm welcome. I had a really good time in the first service, and it's great to see half of new faces here together. And as Keith said, yeah, we go back a long way, familiar with Johnny, know Johnny, know Keith, and I think, though, it's the first time I've been here on a Sunday morning, so getting twice the action, so that's really, really good, and it's just wonderful to be here. Now, I want to say thank you as well for your support of Tear Fund over the years. I know you've been doing that for a number of years, and I just want to say a big, big thank you, and hopefully this morning you will leave inspired, encouraged, and probably make no bones about it, challenged as well, as we consider this issue of global poverty and how do we as Christians here in Bangor in 2021 respond. So if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 3, the talk is really in two parts this morning. The first is I just want to give you like a biblical basis for why we do what we do at Tear Fund. And then later in that, I want to explain a bit about what we actually do and how we can respond. Now, if you don't know much about Tear Fund, it should come up on the screen here. We work in 50 countries around the world, 50 of the world's poorest countries, together with local churches, and we say we follow Jesus where the need is greatest. Because often in a crisis situation, there's lots of aid agencies maybe there, and they do their best, but at some point, sometimes it's safe and the right thing to do to pull out, but the local church in those places never pulls out. And so we want to support our brothers and sisters around the world. And we do three things. The first thing that we do is working through local churches, we do long-term sustainable development. And I'll give you some examples of what that looks like a little bit later on. But we want to seek to transform communities through the local church. The second thing we do is we respond to disasters. So anytime you see in the news there's a hurricane or storm or earthquake, we had Haiti recently, Afghanistan, more often than not, Tear Fund are there on the ground working through the local church to help those affected most deeply by these problems. And then the third thing that we do is that we advocate for change. We seek to use our voice and use the church's voice to influence people in power so that they make decisions that will be positive for people around the world in extreme poverty. So, for example, you may have seen the government's, UK government's foreign aid cut from 0.7% down to 0.5%. We've been there, among others, campaigning that that would get reversed. Not successful yet. COP26 talks that are coming up around climate targets and so on, we seek to influence there as well. And we want to do all that in Jesus' name. And we do it through local churches, as I've said. Now, something you may not know is that for the first time in a generation, extreme poverty around the world is on the increase. We define that as people who live under $1.90 a day, so whatever that is in pounds, that the percentage of people around the world who are in that category is on the increase. And that, over the last couple of years, that has begun to happen, and that's the first time in a generation. That is nearly 700 million people who wake up every day not knowing, am I going to be able to eat today? Not knowing if I'm going to be able to drink today, if I'll have adequate shelter, if I have a job to go to, will I be able to wash? Will I even have any hope? 700 million people around the world. And I firmly believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, this is not just good enough for us to sit on by and think, oh, well, that's someone else's problem. That's just not good enough. And the Bible has a lot to say to us, which we're going to just look at quickly here from Genesis 3. The Bible has a lot to say to us about what is going wrong in the world and why the world experiences the problems that it does. I think sometimes people look at the scriptures and think, well, that's ancient and old and that's nothing to say to my life. But actually, if we look here in Genesis 3, it explains a lot as to why the world really is the way it is. So I could go into this for hours and hours, but I'll not take all that time. But what I want us to think about is that the problems in the world caused by sin, really the essence of sin, is broken relationships. When we think about what's wrong in our world in those terms, broken relationships. And really at the heart of all our problems in the world is this thing of broken relationships. So I want to just quickly highlight for you four in this chapter 3 of Genesis. So the first one, and this should be the one, if I asked what kind of broken relationship sin caused, I think all of us may get this answer right. If you look at verse 8 to 10 of chapter 3, a broken relationship with God. So God sets up the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve to live, for them to thrive together and to walk with him. And he sets boundaries in place, because boundaries are good. He sets boundaries in place and says, you can do what you want, but don't eat of that tree. And of course they do. So then verse 8, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Previously, the man and the woman are walking with God, and then he appears for his daily walk with them, and all of a sudden they're afraid and they hide. And from then on out, we experience a broken relationship with God, our primary spiritual problem. The second broken relationship is broken relationships with each other. You see in verse 11, God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree for which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. And there's kind of like a strange, like tragically comic thing about these verses, because God comes to Adam and says, look, what have you done? Have you eaten from this tree? He said not to. And Adam says, well, you gave me this woman and she gave me the food, so it's not my fault. It's not my fault at all. And we shift the blame. And of course, we do that. When we've done something wrong, we've transgressed boundaries, we shift the blame. We say, oh, God, it's your fault, actually. If you hadn't made the world, there'd be no problems. And then you see, as you go on, Cain kills Abel, and conflict around the world is one of the main drivers of poverty. It's a broken relationship. A broken relationship, then, thirdly, with ourselves. Verse 13, God says to the woman, what is this you have done? You could read that in a couple of ways. You could take that tone of voice to be angry and harsh, judgmental, saying, what have you done? You could take it like that, or you could take it like God's heartbreaking and saying, what have you done? You don't realize what you've done. You have fundamentally shifted our relationship, and you will no longer wake up in the morning knowing I'm loved by God, knowing that you're made in the image of God, knowing that you actually are made for relationship with this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so many problems in our world are caused by us not being at peace with ourselves, because we lose our identity of who we are in God. And then the fourth broken relationship is the broken relationship between humanity and creation. And if you skip on to verse 17, to Adam, God says, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. This is not going to come easy to you anymore. Until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. So not only are relationships between God and people broken, between people and each other broken, relationship with kind of our own self-understanding is broken, but this relationship with the creation, with what God has created for us as a home, that is damaged and broken. Earlier on, we saw in the quiz, God says to the man and the woman, take care of this garden. It will provide for you all you need. Just work it and keep it and look after it in a sustainable way. It will bring life. But what happens when the fall comes in is that relationship gets twisted. And what we have tended to do is to take the resources from the land for our own gain, often at the expense of people who actually live on the land, who really it's their land. Often we come in, we take it for our own greedy gain and not think about the cost. And human action, as we know now, and it's well accepted, human action has accelerated and exacerbated changing weather around the world, which, from us at Tear Fund, causes a whole new category of poverty that we just probably didn't experience about 20 years ago. People pushed into poverty because they can no longer grow crops on their family land. They've maybe been growing crops there for generations, knowing that rains come at this time, and this is how we grow our crops. The last 15, 20 years, depending on who you're speaking to, the stories we're hearing back is we can no longer grow our crops. The floods happen now several times a year. Our seeds do not survive underwater for 6 months of the year. Or we do not get rain anymore. We cannot live in this land any longer. We are poor. And so there's a whole new category of refugee, which is because of changing weather, because of changing climate, a whole new category of poor. There's people who are losing everything, maybe successful people who live in urban centers who are vulnerable to extreme weather like storms, tornadoes, earthquakes. People who in the past wouldn't have been affected by those things. Now, increasingly, we're seeing people become destitute because of that. Extremely hot environments as the temperature heats up. People who were able to live and work in certain places finding that increasingly difficult as the temperatures rise, as humidity rises, we get into a situation where your sweat doesn't even evaporate, which has tragic consequences. We are seeing this. We're talking not necessarily from a political view, that's for political people to sort out, not even from a scientific view, that's for science people to talk out, but from a human point of view, we are seeing people suffering and they're saying, weather's changing. And this is not the kind of world that God intends. And so Jesus came to live, to die, to be resurrected, to be ascended, to rule and reign on high. He came to do all that, to undo all of this and to rebuild all those broken relationships, eventually leading to a renewed creation. And so our mission as the church is to see people restored to God through faith in Jesus. Yes, of course. It is to see people restored to each other in reconciliation. It is to see people come into an understanding of who they are and their identity in God as a healthy human being. And to see a proper balance restored in our relationship with creation. Jesus came for that. And all four of these should be present in our ministry as a holistic gospel message. And that is why we do what we do at Tear Fund. It's not just to be nice. It's not just to help the little poor people who need our help. That is not what it's about. It is part of our mission as followers of Jesus. We want to help resource and equip the church to respond to poverty in a way where people get their dignity back and where they're pointed to Jesus. So I can tell you what we do, and I'll tell you some stories later where we're going to watch a video, but we're going to take time now just to turn our hearts to God in song. So if the guys want to come back up, and we'll do that. So there you go, Burkina Faso, a country where 1 in 10 people are facing extreme hunger, unable to feed themselves, their families, or have any prospective way of doing that for the foreseeable future. Where 1 million people do not have access to basic health care, and where more than 80% of the population depend on agriculture for a living. And as we see there, we can talk about these things at a very high level, but when it just comes down to ordinary people, ordinary lives, and ordinary churches trying to help respond in the name of Jesus. And you see there a story of one family in particular. And really in places like this, what we are seeking to do is to resource the local church in the same kind of way, to do the same sort of things that you guys probably do here. One of the encouraging things, obviously, for us over the pandemic was that local churches here were saying, what are we going to do to love our neighbors here? There's people losing their jobs, there's people isolated, there's people who are experiencing severe mental health difficulties, unable to eat, losing their jobs, all that sort of stuff. Churches here are able to say, well, how can we help? How can we get involved? How can we love our neighbor? And I know here you're involved with the food bank and probably a number of things that I don't even know about to do that. And when we look across the global church, it's exactly the same thing. Church pastors, church congregations are waking up and saying, how do we love our neighbors here? How do we help our communities? How do we begin to love them? Not just with our words about Jesus, but in our actions. And our invitation as Tear Fund is to resource on both ends of that, locally and globally. What we want to say is what we have here in the local church, here in the West, is fabulous resource in terms of our finances. Now, I'm sure not many of us are going home sleeping on mattresses made of £50 notes or anything like that, but comparatively, we are wealthy. We have resource, and we can use that and deploy that to help people in need in our area. But in many cases in the global church, they don't have the same kind of resource. And so what we want to do as Tier Fund is try to connect us here with our resource to churches there who are just trying to do the same thing as we are here. And we've seen churches respond in incredible ways throughout the pandemic. Cox's Bazaar is, I think it's the largest refugee camp in the world. Nearly 1 million people live in that refugee camp in Bangladesh. And as you can imagine, when there's a pandemic and the recommendation is socially distance, keep your distance, and you know, stay in your home, you can't do that whenever you're crammed in extremely tightly. And so Tier Fund's Christian partners on the ground there were installing water pumps, water stations, so people could go and get water that they needed so they could wash, giving out soap, giving out food vouchers for those who need it. And we even had an interesting project in Uganda where people were collecting up plastic and melting down and making PPE out of it. And that was kind of like the church response, which is just fantastic. But I want to call us to respond as well. And there's kind of a couple of ways we can do that. And the first is kind of the obvious one, and that is to pray. And we have a slide here, but as I saw earlier on, it's actually quite, the letters are quite small on it. If you go even to the next one. Thank you. With just some points of prayer, but essentially we want to pray for local churches around the world to respond to these extreme needs. And we, at the minute, really have a number of things. We have conflicts going on in the world which are displacing people. We have the impacts of climate change, as we saw there in the video, impacting upon people. And of course, then we have the COVID pandemic. And all of these things are layering on top of each other and causing more and more people to not be able to survive as we would want them to. So it's under $1.90 a day. So please pray. I was sharing earlier on, I'll not share too much now, but sharing in the prayer time about Afghanistan and just the situation there and how we can respond there. And just keep praying for these things. But the second thing I want to encourage you to do as well is to give. And whenever I was a local pastor, I try to kind of drum this into people as much as I can, is to say, listen, we want to reach people. We've got this great mission. We've got this great ministry we're called to. And it costs money. It costs money to do that. Even when Jesus was going around and about, he had a team of actually mostly female supporters, you probably think, who were his kind of resource and who kept them going. And, you know, a bunch of 12 guys walking around the countryside, they eat a lot of food, you know. So ministry always costs money. And we have, as I've said, been resourced here in the West. And so just to give you an example there in the slide of how far a gift to Tier Fund can go. £38 can provide a woman with material and the training needed to start a sustainable poultry farm. You saw one example there in the video. I was talking to somebody who was involved in helping setting one of these things up. And, you know, you're basically providing a woman with, you know, stuff needed to build an enclosure and with hens and some basic training on how to keep those. And, of course, then they do as a cooperative. The hens breed, and then they're able to eat them. They're able to sell them for meat. Obviously, eggs come out, so they're able to eat the eggs. They're able to sell the eggs. And this thing became a thriving business. And so lives are completely transformed in terms of having enough to eat and be able to feed their families and financially, which is all brilliant. But the main takeaway this person was explaining to me was that previously, you know, the woman she spoke to, she said, listen, my husband hardly even spoke to me. I was a nobody in this community. And now I'm a successful businesswoman. I'm a respected and trusted and valued member of my community. And who is right at the heart of that response? It's the local church, who are doing this equipping and helping and transforming work, but also speaking with people about Jesus. And that is really not very much money to do that. £57 towards hygiene training and waste management. We have a couple of projects around the world which are really innovative and would love to see these increase, where people are employed to go and collect rubbish. So that, first of all, that, you know, brightens up the place if there's rubbish everywhere. They collect waste. It's then sorted and recycled and made into like hexagonal, or not hexagonal, they're kind of like clover-shaped paving slabs, which can then be bundled up on a pallet, and they can be sold, they can be shipped off. And that is with an investment from a local church to make that happen. And that can transform the whole shape of a community. It's incredible work. And that's made possible by support like yours. £200 can install a solar water pump, so gardens can be grown, vegetables can be grown, they can be eaten, they can be sold when there's excess. It's a very simple way for us to help our brothers and sisters around the world. Now, if you translate that into like monthly amount, because you can give the tier fund regularly and you get all kinds of great prayer resources and ways for you to get involved and to hear about what we're doing around the world. It's not really not what we're doing, it's what the church are doing around the world. £13 a month, for example, could train up 4 women for a year to start one of these cooperatives with the poultry and really make an ongoing, lasting difference in the world. So around on your seats, you should have one of these little postcard things, and this is my brilliant free gift to you today. And I want to invite you to take that home with you and stick it up on your fridge. One side is pray, so put that on your fridge and use it. You can use the prayer that's on it, or you can use it just as a prompt to pray for the kind of things we've heard about this morning. But don't pray until you've looked at the other side, which is to give. Now, in the first service, I'll try to get everybody to get their phones out and see if this actually worked. I'll not do that now, but hopefully you're familiar with these QR codes. You can just put your phone camera up to that, and that'll take you to a website where you can make a donation or become a regular giver and sign up to receive all our updates about what God is doing around the world through the church. Or there's ways to give here, which I'm sure you're aware of. So I'm going to finish in prayer, but I want to thank you so much just for the opportunity to share with you today, to share a little bit about the theology and the background as to why there is poverty in the world and how we should, and why we should be involved, and then to share some stories about the kind of things that are happening. It is a privilege to be part of this ministry, to hear what God is doing around the world through the church, and to try to encourage and challenge churches here to get involved with it. We all have a part to play. We love our neighbors here. We love our neighbors here and here, and we love our neighbors around the world. I want to invite you to join with us in serving them and equipping them and resourcing them. So let's pray, and then we'll close up, I think, with a song. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have been faithful to us throughout the last number of months, Lord, with extremely trying situations. And I thank you that you are at work around the world through your church in many ways. Thank you, Lord, that people are coming to faith in you. Thank you, too, Lord, that the church is able to be your hands and feet and to help lift people out of poverty. Lord, I just want to pray that you would prompt us about our response, not just to sit back and say, someone else will deal with that, but to seek to bless and resource our brothers and sisters. And so I want to pray, Lord, that the work that your church does around the world in this way would bear fruit and multiply. I want to pray for the church here in Hamilton Road Baptist. Lord, will you just bless them? Will you encourage them? Will you grant them growth in their depth and also in their breadth? Lord, may they know you all the more deeply, and may you bless us as we go into our days. Amen.